In the bulletin as well, I think there was a little thing from the Buffalo News, a little article about Ken Ham. And you guys are maybe aware. Who's aware of Ken Ham? You guys know, many of you guys do, right? He's a creation scientist, and they've just opened up this big ark that they built full size and all that, and a lot going on. I mean, a lot of people are upset about that because they really don't want to believe the Bible is true, to be honest with you. I think that's the root cause of it. So I'm looking forward to Dove FM coming up into Buffalo. And the other cool thing about that, among many other things, is that it's a full power station, and they're saying we might hit like 650,000 people up there. That's pretty awesome. So you guys are going to hit a lot of people. You know that? Just so you know. Then you can advertise about the shotguns and the 30 rounds and all that, and it'd be cool, it's good. So, and your worship team is great too, by the way. I really enjoyed that. Although I know I'm getting older, my hearing's going, because I saw Mike up there. I didn't hear anything. I just saw this going on. I'm teasing Micah. All right, let's go to. I'm just teasing him. Let's go to. Well, we're going to be in John 9 if you want to go to John 9, but we're going to a few places. If you want to come with me, you can or just go to John 9, okay? But I want to look at some real fundamental stuff first, basics. That's really not basic. I mean, we got to keep reminding ourselves about the Lord and the things He says, because life's confusing, isn't it? I mean, I hate to say it, the older I get, in a sense, the more confused I get about things, but less because I'm looking to Christ. And I guess maybe part of it is I'm not trying to figure everything out the way I used to, because I've realized I can't. There's just so many things that the Lord's doing that, I mean, I would do differently if I was God, but it's probably a good thing I'm not God then, right? Because He's doing what's best, right? Psalm 139, first of all. We're going to end up in John 9. So, but if you want to go to Psalm 139, just a couple of verses from each of these next four places here. Okay, one fundamental thing from my perspective. Psalm 139, starting in verse 13, and David just wrote about how God created us with a plan, right? Psalm 139, verse 13, David says, "You formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." Here we go. "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." So I read that, and the way I get it, at least, is that, hey, God wrote a book about me, right? And not just me, you too. Now, how that all works out, again, God knows better than I do. I think the way it works is that He writes this book about the possibilities, and then I think I have, through decisions I make, whether to fulfill all of it or part of it, I think my decisions play a role also. But I do firmly believe, it says here that God wrote a book about me, and He's so gracious. I mean, we all deserve to lose it because we've all made a lot of mistakes, starting with me, And He's so gracious that He kind of sees me through things, and I go through all these paths and challenges and these twists and turns in the road, and there's a reason for it, Now, over in Matthew 7 is the next place, and then Acts, and then Romans, and then John. But Matthew 7, here's another data point, a fact, and so God wrote a book about me and you. It also says His thoughts for me are like the grain of sand, so He thinks about us a lot. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened." So He wants me to search for Him. And what I read here is that everyone who seeks God will find Him. So the way I see that, yeah, if I really want to know Him, I will. I mean, I could fool around and say the words and not want to. I think there's a lot of people that might call themselves Christians that are angry about the ark because, hey, this ark, full-size ark, is showing that just the way the Bible specifications were, this thing would float, and it would. This thing could hold all the animals. If you go back to the genes that, not every type of dog, for example, but the genes within the parent-type dogs, and then you get all the other species or whatever later on. But what I'm trying to say is that it would work. If you take the Bible literally and you look at those specifications, it makes sense. It would work. But it's very offensive also because now if that's true and if the ark's true, that means that God sent a worldwide flood and that means only 8 survived, and that's very offensive to people. And so it's tough, But bring it back here. Those who want to know Christ will know Him. I see that here. Now, Acts 17, go there. And to me, I think this might be part of the beginning of the story that God wrote about you and me. Because Psalm says he wrote a book about us. Matthew 7 says that whoever seeks for Jesus will find him. Now, Acts 17, Paul's speaking over in Athens, and he talks about God, and he says in Acts 17, verse 26, he is made from one blood, so from Adam and Eve. God made every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling. So what does that mean? God decided we'd be born when we were, right? He predetermined our times, the boundary of our dwellings. He decided where we'd be born. Why? Verse 27. Well, this might be the first part of the book he wrote about you. So that they should seek the Lord. Why? Because if you seek, you'll find, right? I mean, God wants us all to find him, doesn't he? God wants everybody to be saved, right? So, hey, he writes this book. He decides when I'll be born and where I'll be born. Why? Verse 27. So we should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grow for him and find him. So he wants me to choose him. Now, Romans 8 and then John 9. Romans 8, first of all. And so again, to me, these are data points, okay, and fundamental data points. As I try to bring some order to my world, and you know, why does God allow these things? And what does this mean? And what's the sense of it all? In Romans 8:28, again, this is one of my favorite verses. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I love that, right? Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. In that part, I'm not sure. I mean, I love it in my spirit, but I don't love it so much in my flesh, right? I love the 28 part where it's all for good, but the way my mind tends to think is that I look at what is good for me now here on earth pertaining to money and health and stuff and all that. That's how I tend to look at good. My kids, how they doing, that type of thing. And, well, God says, you know what? Hey, I love your kids more than you ever could because I'm a better dad than you are. I've got their best in mind. I've got everybody's good in mind. I wrote a book about everybody. I want everybody to find me. I've got the best in mind for everybody. But really, the goal is, hey, Jesus says, what is it, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what good is it? Right? It's useless, isn't it? So that's the thing. So the good results in me being conformed to the image of his son, which could be very painful, right? So I get it. I don't like it always in my flesh, but I get it kind of, right? So now you go over to John 9. So here's kind of the main place for today. You guys have read this many times. I mean, you guys, I know you're well taught here. Do many of you guys, do you read the Bible all the way through, from page 1 all the way through? You guys, a lot of you guys do that. A lot of you guys have read John 9 a lot of times. Like, one time? 5 times? 10 times? 1,001 times? How many times? I mean, a lot of times, right? That's good, isn't it? At least that many times, George says. That's good. Well, look here, okay? So here, now we come into the part where I struggle, because verse 1 of chapter 9, that's why I need these fundamental things to think about, okay? Because just from human thoughts, I would struggle with this. Chapter 9, verse 1 of John. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. I would struggle with that, right? It's like, God, why, right? Why? His disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So I get it intellectually, and we get it here, right? But again, it kind of points back to the fact that, you know what? There's a good in it somewhere. Would I want to be the guy born blind? Of course not. Would I want to be the person that maybe faces challenges today that I don't face? No, of course I wouldn't, right? But yet you got to fit into that broader perspective. You know, God wrote a book about me. He wants me to choose him. He does it for good. He wants to conform me to the image of his son. Matthew 6:8, it says, your father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Matthew 10:30, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So it's like you read this stuff, and so intellectually, we get it. Now it's just, God, help me to walk in it when I face the struggles I hate and when I face things I don't want to face and when I'm in a place I don't want to be, because it's part of life. Isn't it sometimes your place you don't want to be? It's the way life is. And help me to cling to those truths. And remember, you know what? look at verse 3. You know, what happened to this guy? Why? And Jesus says, well, neither is this man nor his parents sinned. I mean, Adam and Eve sinned, to be honest with you. That's why, right? But that the works of God should be revealed in him. And so God wants to reveal himself through this guy. And so, again, intellectually, the goal is, hey, you know what? Jesus wants to flow through me. Jesus wants to be glorified through me. Jesus wants to touch lives through me. So again, we know this already. You guys, you know what I'm going to tell you today, okay? It's like less of me, more of Jesus, right? That's the way it's got to be as a Christian. It's got to be less of me, more of Jesus. This guy here, for whatever reason, God chose him. And God says, I'm going to let this poor guy be born blind. And, you know, I'm going to use it for my glory. I chose him and not that one. And who knows why, right? God knows why. I was hearing, you know, when you get older, you got to start running and stuff. I try to run a little bit to, you know, be a little bit healthy at least. And, you know, I was listening to a teaching. Actually, Joe Foch. Anybody got MP3s? Joe Foch's All the Way Through the Bible? It's awesome. Chuck Smith, it's also awesome, okay? And I listen to those, and also Don McClure. If you got Don McClure, those are the guys I listen to. They've got through the Bible. But anyways, Joe Foch was talking about, you know, we're supposed to reflect the light of Christ. He was talking about, think about the moon. And he says, when the moon is at its fullest and its brightest, why is that? And the answer is because the world's not in the way. Otherwise, the world's in the way, isn't it? Because you get a little, because the world's between the sun and the moon, so you get a piece of the moon or not very little of the moon. But there's a certain time every month where the world's out of the way and you just got the moon and the sun, right? And then it's big and it's bright and it's shining and it's beautiful. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah, it's gorgeous, you know? And so, in a sense, that's the goal, okay? So you start you take a step back from this. Okay, this guy, he's born blind. It's not fair, okay? The apostles, the disciples, they don't get it either. But Jesus says, well, you know what? The reason is that God would receive glory, that the works of God should be revealed in him. And that's, you know, what is Duff FM? It's not WJEF, right? I mean, it's Duff. It's for God, isn't it? It's not WMRK. It's for God or the other guys that are, right? I mean, that's what it is. And that's what kind of excites me when you start thinking about this stuff. It's like, man, God, you're putting this together. I mean, and I firmly believe, and I know your pastor firmly believes, that God's put this together, you know? I mean, these things that God brings into life. Now, why do I even know your pastor? I mean, well, I would have known you very vaguely through the Castle retreats once in a while we go to. But really, how do I know him? Well, because, you know, why did Kay decide to go to college in Buffalo? I don't know, right? Why did, actually, this was a few years ago, right? Why didn't Nicole take a kayaking trip with us that time and meet Micah? Why did they do that for, right? Why? Now, here's a real question. The time they did that, Micah showed her like a head of a deer or something, or a moose, right? Now, I can't figure out why he did that. I really can't figure out. But I mean, it's like, why did it work, though, right? Why did God, it did work. Why did God do that, right? Or why was Jeff, how many months? 8 months in Buffalo? You guys know your pastor. He's working in Buffalo every 3-4 days a week for like the last, until recently, right? Now, why? And how much, what's the word, pain? How much do I want to drive all this way? I've got to be apart from my wife. I mean, how much of that stuff would we choose? Very little of it, wouldn't we? But yet, you know, God, and that's the thing, you take a step back and, well, you know what, God, I think you're developing this relationship for Dove FM. I mean, for many things, but Dove FM is a big part of that. You know, the vision you guys have had for years and years, man, I mean, this is really cool. This is a full power station. It's not a translator, it's a full power station. This could hit a lot of people. There's a lot of people in Buffalo that could be touched by this, you know? It's exciting when you think about it. So you come back here, well, you know, why? Why the suffering? Why the struggles? Why all this stuff? You know, I mean, if Jeff didn't work that job, we wouldn't be close the way we are. You know what I'm saying? Why all this stuff? Well, I don't know. God knows. And he always seems to do things in a way that I wouldn't do personally. But again, because there's still too much of me in me. That's the reason why. If there was less of me in me, I'd be more like God, you know? There's too much of me in me. So that's the way it is. So he says, you know what? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God's going to be glorified through it. Verse 4, he says, I must work the works of him who sent me. God, Jesus, the Son of God, I must do what the Father told me. While it's day, the night's coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spit on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and he came back seeing. So again, you guys have read this before, okay? So there's another question. Well, why that way? You know, why not just click your fingers, Lord, and, you know, or what was that old TV show? Was it Bewitched? Wiggle the nose, whatever she used to do. Just do it. It's easier, right? Why does this guy got to go and find his way to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes? And but again, you can't answer everything, but I guess the goal is just do what God says, right? I mean, there's some goals. One goal is be able to hear what God's saying. Another thing is be able to discern and to do what he says. I had seen this story. This was just a couple days ago in the news, and true story, I guess. Down in South Florida, they get these holes sometimes open up in the earth there, you know, right? There was this lady, okay, and her grandson, and I guess they were driving into McDonald's, okay? Honestly, this is a true story. And I guess they pull in, and at the drive-through thing there, it says as she stopped, the ground caved in, the car went nose first into the water, the car's back tires were hanging up in the air. So can you imagine going up to McDonald's, and suddenly the thing opens up here like this? Now, the thing is, if God was telling her for the past 5 months, you shouldn't go to McDonald's anymore, wouldn't that be maybe a message? It would be, wouldn't it? But if he wasn't, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? How do you discern God's will, right? So if God was telling me, stop going to McDonald's. My wife's been telling me that for years. Stop going to McDonald's, okay? Well, that might be a message, right? But if it's not God, see, that's what's hard. How do you discern it, right? It's kind of hard. There's another guy, too, which you guys don't do it now, but there's a guy, I didn't have a printer. I would have printed this out, but oh, where is it here? His name is, did you ever hear of a guy named Don Gorski? Look him up on the internet, but not now, okay? This guy here, he's famous, okay? He's eaten over 26,000 Big Macs, okay? It's 90, honest to God, okay? It's 90% of his food intake. His cholesterol level is 140. Can you imagine that? He eats McDonald's every day. He's 140. It's good. I mean, mine's 240, and I don't eat McDonald's very much. He met his wife at McDonald's. He proposed to her at McDonald's. He has this is what the internet says. I believe it. He's got a statue of Ronald McDonald in his backyard. The guy loves McDonald's, okay? So, okay, how do you discern God's voice, okay? Well, again, I guess I'd say if God was speaking to me, and, well, are you in the Word of God? That's why I'm glad you guys raised your hand. You read the Bible over and over. That's good. Because now you know you're in God's Word there. And obviously, if you're hearing something that's not the Word, you know right away it's not, right? You're in fellowship, that's good. You're in prayer, that's good. Because sometimes even within the context of the Word, there's some issues. Do I not? But anyway, so this guy, he heard Jesus clearly. And Jesus says, well, I want you to go and I want you to do what, you know, wash your eyes and whatnot. And he did that. And so I think that's one of the goals is, God, help me to learn how to hear you and how to recognize your voice. That's why it's so good. Again, guys, go through the Bible. Keep going through it. You know, again, as I get older, I meet other pastors, other good churches. They don't all do it our way. I mean, to me, the best way is going all the way through and keep going through. I love that. That changed my life. It revolutionized my life for me. But there could be other, they don't do it that way, whatever, you know. But it's like, you know, learn. And as you think you're hearing from God, now you've got a bunch of data points. Just like we began the study, you know, Psalm says this and Matthew says this, and X says this, and you start getting this stuff, you can build this foundation based on the entire Word of God. Because just take one, you guys know, take one sentence out of context, you can be very confused, can't you? And so you build your foundation on the entire Word of God. And you try to raise up your kids in that way too. You know, it's funny because the way we learn, it's hard to unlearn stuff. And that's part of the problem with life in general or even in Christianity. Sometimes it's hard for us to unlearn things that are incorrect that we incorporated in, right? I mean, I heard this story, and this is not a true story, I don't think, but there's this guy driving, and there's a guy with him, okay? And this guy that was driving, okay, the light turns yellow, okay? Now, what do you do when the light turns yellow? You're supposed to slow down, aren't you, usually? Okay, this guy speeds right through it, okay? Well, okay, it must have been you then. And here's the guy sitting next to him, okay? And the guy says, why'd you do that? And he says, well, you know, my brother taught me how to drive, and my brother always goes through yellow lights. Okay, well, then they next time they get to a red light, the guy goes right through the red light. Okay, and the guy sitting next to him now has gotten scared. That's a red light. Why'd you go through the red light? Well, my brother taught me how to drive, and he always goes through red lights. Okay, then next place they got a green light. Now the guy stops, and he says, "What'd you stop for?" He says, "Well, because my brother goes through red lights, he might be coming the other direction. That's why I stopped." Right. But it's like how you learn stuff, isn't it? You can learn stuff, right, that's kind of wrong. And here, look at, okay, he heard the Lord's voice, and God says, go wash in the pool. Okay, then don't go do it, okay? Don't bottle the pool of Siloam in water and start selling it. Oh, this will heal blindness, because it might not, right? But in this case, God says, go do it, and it worked. So God, help us to hear your voice clearly. Look at verse 8. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? So, okay, he comes back, he's seen, now he's healed, and people are noticing. So again, here we see God's being glorified through it. God is becoming better known through this. Actually, if you just jump ahead to chapter 11 real quick, and you guys remember the story of Lazarus also. But just verse 37, we'll come right back. You know, Lazarus died and Jesus comes. And people in verse 37, John 11:37, some said, could not Jesus, who opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? So they're remembering, probably the guy in John 9 there, hey, we remember Jesus healed this blind guy. Why did Lazarus die? And again, even that was for God's glory too, right? Come back to John 9, though. So he comes back, this guy he can see. And verse 9 of John 9, some said, this is he. Some are saying, hey, this guy was blind. He was a beggar. You know, he sat and he begged. That was his life. He was a beggar. Is this the same guy? In verse 9, some said, this is he. And others said, he's like him. And he said, I am he. So yes, I'm the guy. Verse 10, therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? In verse 11, he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I washed and I went and washed and I received my sight. It's kind of interesting. So again, this poor guy, he's blind from birth. He's a beggar. You know, our youngest granddaughter lives in Buffalo area. The other two are in Virginia. She's 11 months old almost, right? And we love her. Her name's Sienna, actually. And we have her 3 days a week, right? Chrissy watches her. I usually see her in the morning before I take off for church. And we pray for her every day. And certainly we're praying, you know, let this child be healthy. Let her be smart. Let her have success, right? I mean, we don't want her to be blind and a beggar. I mean, obviously, nobody wants that for their loved ones or their kids. And yet, here's this guy, and this is the way he was. And yet, again, you take a step back, and I don't understand it, but look at verse 11. He says, a man called Jesus made clay and healed me. Now again, jump ahead to verse 35 of the same chapter. He goes from that point. Later on, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Well, he got kicked out of the synagogue because of that. And when he had found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? So first he says, a man healed me. Now Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and is he who is talking with you? Then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. So again, you kind of take it back now, okay? You know, God wants me to be saved. God wants me to be conformed into his image of his son, Jesus. You know, maybe, God knows, you know, God put me in the time and the place, the way I call it, you know, it hopes that I would seek him and find him. In Buffalo, there's a lot of casinos, okay, unfortunately, and I almost look at it like God put this guy or puts us in the place that would optimize the probability of us receiving him as Lord and Savior. That's how I look at it. Because it says that if you seek, you'll find. And then he says, I put you in the place and time so you will seek. So to me, it's like the casino in a sense, opposite. Casino, they want you to lose, so you get your money. But with Jesus, he wants you to win. He wants you to freely choose to receive him. So he sets us in the time and place that would optimize the probability of us with our free choice that he's given us to receive him. And so maybe this guy here, the fact he was born blind, he went through what he went through. Hey, He received Christ. Praise the Lord, right? That part's good. That part's really good. And then from this point on, again, you know, God can use him in a mighty way, right? Now, verse 12. So back to verse 12. This guy, he is now brought before the Pharisees. So verse 13, they brought him who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now again, you guys have read your Bibles, many of you. Okay, so the Sabbath was their primary day of worship, right? And one of the tragedies about that time and the teaching of that time was that they had all these man-made rules around the Sabbath. And Jesus got himself in trouble a lot of times because he would heal on the Sabbath and they didn't like that. You guys remember that, right? It's so upside down. It's so crazy, right? And so now they've got their religion, their man-made rules, and their man-made rules are keeping people away from Jesus. And that's why, another power of the radio, okay? Here's a voice coming out there. They don't necessarily know who your pastor is from Adam and Eve, you know what I'm saying? But here's a voice, and they're listening, and it takes away so much of the baggage that people can carry. I mean, you ever just see somebody, and right away, just by what you see, you get impressions, don't you? And right off the bat, you could be thinking stuff like, I like that person, I don't like that person, I'm afraid, I'm not afraid, whatever. Just a voice. Click on, here's a voice, and here's the Word of God. And it's God's Word. It's not the guy's, God's using the guy, but it's not him. It's the Word of God. So effective, so awesome. Lives are changed that way. That's how lives get changed, right? Very, very exciting. These poor guys here, you know, they're so wrapped up in their own thing. You know, he healed on the Sabbath? He can't heal on the Sabbath. It goes against our rules, not the Bible's rules, but our rules. And I got to think to myself, God, help me. I'm supposed to be a light shining for you. Do I have anything in my life? Is there anything in my church in Buffalo that's keeping people away from you that I've added as baggage? You know what I'm saying? If I'm just presenting the Word, which I should be doing, and people, if they turn away from it, well, pray for them, right? But if I'm throwing all my garbage in there and minimizing the Word so I can throw my garbage in there, forgive me, God. I'm hindering people from getting closer to you, right? We face a lot of struggles in today's world, stuff I didn't even think about when I was a kid. I mean, the news, just what, the Black Lives Matter, right? I mean, they do matter. Every life matters, right? Muslim lives and LGBT lives matter. Every life matters, and Iceland people or whatever, everybody's life matters, right? But these things we're facing, you know what? I want to reach as many as I can, and I think the radio is a great way to do that because they're going to just hear some guy or some guys, a bunch of guys, and the Word of God, right? And they're not going to be able to make any impression about anything else, at least in the beginning. And they're going to hear that, and God can use it in a mighty way. These guys here, they can't learn. These Pharisees, they can't learn because he's going against our rules. Yeah, but they're not his rules. It doesn't matter what your rules are, right? I mean, every church has rules, and that's good because you need some order. But, hey, God, don't let our rules ever push anybody away from you, right? And you guys know, the Pharisees are going to reject it, right? They always did. Now, here's the interesting thing. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles real quick, please, if you would, to the left. 2 Chronicles, the very last verse of 2 Chronicles. So it would be 2 Chronicles 36. And actually, put your hand there and go back to John for a minute, okay? Because we're going to jump down for a minute. It's pretty cool here. They don't want to hear it, okay? They don't want to believe that Jesus is God because he healed on the Sabbath. Now, one of many other truths about God is that he will reach people where they're at. And I remember the time when, remember when Peter was in the boat with Jesus and basically Jesus said, you know what, you know, let down your net. And he says, well, I did and there was no fish there. Do it again and all these fish come. Remember Peter fell down and says, Lord, get away. I'm a sinful man. Remember that in the gospel? It's like God spoke to him through fish. It's like Peter's a fisherman, and God used that to speak to him. And whatever you are, I mean, God can use these things to give you a message, okay? It doesn't have to be an outstanding message all the time. I mean, we celebrated at our church. We had July 4th. We had a little picnic last week. And afterwards, some of us went to the fireworks. And the Lord spoke to me clearly. There was about three cars, okay? And it was so cool because I'm driving with another person and there's two cars behind us. And we're driving up to the fireworks. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm thinking, I said to the guy, where are we going to park? I mean, it was kind of, we're getting there kind of late. Where are we going to park? Then I looked to my left, and here's a guy from the church, a newer guy from the church. He lives, I didn't know this, he lives right across the street from where the fireworks are. He's looking at me smiling. He says this, okay? So we pull in, the two cars behind us pull in. We get these awesome parking spots, and then we get out of there first, too, so we don't have to wait for all the traffic. Now, it's not like it's earth-shattering, but it was like the Lord spoke to me, right? And it's like he cared about us, okay? I mean, and again, it's not a big deal, but it's sweet. I mean, God will speak to us in ways that are very sweet, won't he? And you know it's God, then that you got to get through the other stuff, because then he does something that you don't understand, right? But I'm convinced that we'll look ahead someday in the future, and we'll be looking back, when we're in heaven and the Lord's speaking to us, and this is why. Look at who was touched through it. Look at the good I did. Another example, one of the ladies at our church, her brother was having marital problems. He ended up getting divorced from his former wife. She gave her brother, we have these new believers' Bibles. Actually, Greg Laurie sends them out, whatever. But we gave it, well, she took one, she gave it to her brother. Now, her brother never got saved, but the brother gave it to the wife. They got divorced. The wife, former wife, contacted this lady a couple weeks ago. Thank you for the Bible. I got saved. Okay, now, it wasn't for her. It was for her brother, but God knew better, right? And the brother didn't get saved yet. I hope he does. But see, God's always working is what I'm trying to say. So whatever you're going through today, it's easy for me to say if I'm not going through it, you know. But the thing is that, you know what, God is at work. That's why you got to look at the fundamental things, and you got to hang in there, right? And even Pastor Chuck Smith used to say, you know what, when you're faced with stuff you don't understand, what do you do? Well, some people lose their faith and walk away, but other people, they fall back on what they do understand. And that's why you need the fundamentals, right? God wrote a book about us, didn't he? God wants us to be saved. God has a purpose for us. God has a calling for us. Even that poor blind guy, God has a calling for. I mean, hey, how many lives has he touched? He's touching us today just by reading about this guy, right? I mean, I wouldn't have chosen that. But God knows, doesn't he? Here are these Pharisees. John 9, and then we're almost done. Then 2 Chronicles 38, then back, we're done. But look, here's this blind guy, and it's very profound, okay? God spoke to Peter in the boat about fish, and Peter got, you know, he connected with God. Here, this blind guy makes a really impressive statement, okay? Because they're asking him, you know, who did this, and blah, 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 blah. And verse 32 is interesting. This blind guy is telling these experts in the law, these Pharisees, okay? And he asked him a really good question. Since the world began, he says, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. And, you know, if you look in the Old Testament, there's people that came back to life a couple times, but you'll never find somebody being healed of blindness in the Old Testament. I've checked. So this guy makes this profound theological statement to these theological guys that should have known that because they're the scholars, right? Just like he spoke to Peter about fish, okay? He spoke to me about rounds of ammunition when Jeff was speaking earlier, right? He speaks in different ways to different people, right? But it's like they should have got it, right? Here's another opportunity for them to get it, another chance to get it, or maybe the ark that Ken Ham built. You know, I believe souls will be saved through that. I guess they were picketing when it opened it up the other day, but God can even use that to draw attention, and maybe people that wouldn't have come, they'll come because people are picketing and they'll get saved. I mean, God knows what he's doing, even though we don't like it sometimes, right? And here, this blind guy that obviously couldn't read until his eyes were open, and yet he's telling these theological guys, he's making a very profound statement, you know what? Jesus healed me. In the Old Testament, Elijah, Elisha, you don't see them healing any guy that's blind. I mean, yeah, there's other things that they miracles, but not that. Now, here's 2 Chronicles 36, very interesting, okay? Another thing I'm going to ask you guys is, those guys, it's hard when you're working and all that, I know, but you read your Bible every day, many of you, right? And you set aside a time, and it might be in the morning, might be at night, whenever, but you set aside a time. My other thought is, do you use a commentary? And I'm going to give you my opinion, okay? Because what I do is, every time I go through the Bible, I use a different commentary. only because I like to learn from other people too. And then you kind of weigh it. I don't believe everything I read all the time, but you weigh everything, right? Well, anyways, one thing I just learned recently, I didn't know this. Now, the Hebrew Bible, now, back, of course, they had the scrolls back then, right? Now, you guys, I don't know if you, some of you guys probably know this, but the books of the Hebrew are not in the same order that we have in our Bible, okay? I think our Bible goes with the Septuagint, the Greek translation, but the actual Hebrew scriptures, they're ordered differently. My point is that the last verse of 2 Chronicles 36 is the last verse in their Bible, in their Old Testament Bible, okay? Because it's ordered differently. So 2 Chronicles is the last book, and this here, verse 23, is the last part of that book. So, okay, they had these scrolls back then. It had to be hard to find stuff. Now you get on the internet or whatever, you can find stuff right away. You type in a word and you find all the scriptures with the word. But back then you had these scrolls, you got to find stuff, okay? Well, here's, the experts had the scrolls. Look, if you remember, there was this thing where the Israelis had, the Jews, Jerusalem had basically turned their back on God and Babylon came in. There were some prophecies, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel verified, 70 years, and then I'm going to let you go back into the land, okay? And the Hebrews Bible ends with verse 23, and you can look at it a couple different ways. So, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia. So, he's the guy, the Persian guy that overthrew Babylon. All the kingdom of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me. He has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him and let him go up. So, here's the command, a historical command from Cyrus, and at face value, it's like, yeah, we are able now to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, and that's 100% true. But you also think about it now, and so many times in the Bible, there's prophecy. That's one of the fascinating things about the Bible is that we think chronological. The Lord, it's almost like a stream, and sometimes you get these different currents flowing through. And now I have to ask the Lord this someday in heaven, because I don't know the answer, okay? But look at the last two sentences here, okay? Of which would be their scroll, the very end there, you know, the very last two thoughts in their scroll. First of all, it says, who is among you of all his people? So which of you are God's, right? Who is God's people? And of course, them, yeah, you go back and rebuild the temple, but think about it prophetically. Okay, now look, the very last sentence, may the Lord his God be with him. Now, what does Emmanuel mean? You guys remember the study of your Bibles? God is with us, right? May Emmanuel be with him. May the Lord his God be with him and let him go up. Now, the other thing, there's no capital or small in the Hebrew, okay? So it could be let him go up, like, okay, go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. It could be capitalized, let him go up. Let him be crucified and rise again. It could be that. I mean, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it could be, right? But, you know, the last part of your scroll says, may the Lord his God be with him. Emmanuel, that's who Jesus is, right? And it's like, it's right there. It's right there for these guys. The very last part of their scroll. And let him go up, right? So go back. So I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying there's stuff in there that is very fascinating as you think about it. You come back here to John 9, and I'll tell you what, look. He, this profound statement, verse 32, and here's this guy that was not a scholar. He was a beggar. He was blind. He couldn't study. And yet he says to these scholars, since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. That should have just struck these guys because they knew the Old Testament, the Pharisees. Yeah, I mean, maybe they knew it already, maybe they didn't, but I would have been, wow, I never thought about that before. That's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting. Just like we're going to go see the Ark probably next year, but you know what? Hey, the thing's built exactly the way the Bible says, the dimensions. They've done studies on it. Did you know that it would float in a worldwide flood? Did you know that? It would. Did you know there's enough room for all the major, you know, species genes there so all the mutations now would be covered in the ark? Did you know that? Did you know that, I mean, the dinosaurs could have been little. They didn't have to be big old ones. It could have been little young ones that went in the ark. I mean, it works. It makes sense, right? And what's the reaction? Well, don't read the article now. Read the article from the Buffalo News. You'll see some people's reaction. Oh, they're trying to destroy our kids. They're trying to teach them science is wrong. Oh, they're ruining our kids' lives. No, we're trying to save your kids. We're trying to save you. We're trying to touch this world. That's the power of the gospel. And the radio's a part of that. We're trying to help. And that's the coolest thing about being a Christian is this, okay? You have the answer. Isn't that the coolest thing? You can go in circles about all this, again, the Black Lives Matter, and they do matter, okay? They do matter. And every life matters, and Jesus loves everyone. He wants everybody to be saved. They all matter, okay? You can go in circles forever. Or you could say, you know what? Hey, I got the gospel. I got Jesus. I got the answer. You know what? I'm going to do my best to portray that. I want to be like the full moon, okay? I want to be like the little slit. What do they call the other one? The wax moon, whatever they call it? Waning, waxing, whatever. You know, the little slit there? It's like 99% earth and 1% the light. Who needs that? Right? They need 100% the light and 0% us. Right? Don't they? When you get right down to it? So back here, hey, you know what? Think about this, geniuses. Excuse me, not the Pharisees. Think about it, geniuses, because you guys know these scriptures. And look, you know what? This miracle has never been done before. But unfortunately, and that's the problem, you get so wrapped up in, and again, religion could be a bad thing. It could be a really bad thing because it's my rules are bigger than Jesus's. Look, I learned this and I'm not going to change. And it doesn't matter what the Lord does or what the Bible says or what the Holy Spirit says. It doesn't matter because I'm going to do it my way. And that's the most horrible place to get. And that's how we become a Pharisee. And it's one of the dangers of walking after the Lord for years and years because, again, you could be walking after the Lord. It's been 33 years. No, we've been married 33 years. It's been since 1980, whatever that, 36 years we've been walking with the Lord. And it's like, you got to be so careful, right? It's like, God, help me to be open. Help me to be open to you. Help me to reflect you. Help me to love you. Help me to be a vessel that you can flow through, you know? One last story, we're going to close here, and again, it gets back to Chuck Smith. I mean, some of you guys, the older ones remember him perhaps, younger ones, again, I'd say, hey, it's a good, if you want to go through the Bible, that'd be a one really good way to do it, would be to get the MP3 CDs and listen to it. I know at the Bible school at Finger Lakes, that's part of what they do, is they go through the entire series of Chuck Smith, and again, you're not glorifying the man, but you're, you know, glorifying the Word of God through a vessel that was very much, what's that?
Faithful to it.
Thank you. Faithful to it, exactly, you know. And he basically, I remember one of the things he said was that if you ever got one of these, like a vessel, maybe it's stained with Kool-Aid or something, and you put water in there, and you drink it, and you get like this taste, it's not really water, it's got the stain in it, you know. And he would make the point that don't be the stain, right? I mean, just get out of the way, let the pure water flow. And again, then just trust God and do it the way he says. Because we really don't know what's going to happen. We can't know. But fundamentally, you know, Romans 8:28, it's all for the good, for those who love the Lord. I do. For those who are called according to his purpose, I am. That they may be predestined into the image of his son. I want that. I mean, my flesh doesn't, but it's important, right? These guys here, he gives them this theological statement. You know what? This blindness has never happened before in the Old Testament. But verse 34, sadly, they answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins and you're teaching us," and they threw him out. Get out of here, right? And sad, isn't it? You're not meeting my desires, get out of here, right? The ark is not meeting what I want to believe, get it out of here. We'll drown it with noise. We don't want to hear about the dimensions in the Bible. We don't want to hear about how it could flow. We don't want to hear about that because if that's true, then a worldwide flood is true. And if that's true, then only 8 souls were saved, Noah's family. And if that's true, well, my goodness, I'd rather believe it's not true. Because then I don't have to believe about Jesus. One door, ha, it's what a joke that is. You can't believe the ark's a fairy tale, the one door to heaven's a fairy tale. See what's important to believe the Bible? I mean, we understand that. We believe it. We understand it. And again, God, help us to know the Bible, to be able to share it with everybody that we come into contact with, and you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? And that's radio. let's pray, okay? So Lord, we're thankful for you, your spirit in us. Thank you for choosing to use us. You used a beggar and a blind man, and again, it probably sounds trite. We're all kind of like that, I guess. Hopefully we're not blind physically or we're not beggars, but you know what? We're nothing compared to you, Lord God. The fact that you choose to use any one of us is a miracle, and the fact that you would work through us and touch lives through us is something, a great privilege we can't fully appreciate, I don't think, or fully understand, but it's a blessing, Lord God. And so we thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us. We do pray for, if there's anybody here, and I don't know anybody here, so very few. If there's anybody here that does not yet know you as Lord and Savior, pray that you would show them just to pray, say an easy prayer, simple prayer. You know, God, I trust you. I want to live for you. Be my Lord and Savior. Mean it from their heart, and talk to Pastor Jeff or someone else afterwards and, you know, get a Bible or something. But Lord, we thank you because you are the answer. You are the solution. Your word is the truth. There is eternity. And you have made it such that we all are desired there, but we need to choose to bow down before you to get there. And so, Lord, help us to understand that. Help us to, again, be able to portray that to others, Lord, and to reach out and to just share the truth with them. And we pray that many would be saved, Lord God. We pray for revival to break out in Pennsylvania and New York and all across this land and all around the world. And we just pray that many souls would come to a saving knowledge of you, Lord God. And also, we're looking forward to the rapture of the church. And when that last one gets saved, Lord, hey, the sooner the better, you know, as far as I'm concerned. We want to go be with you forever, Lord God. We love you so much. We thank you. We praise you. Please bless everybody here. Give everybody something they need, Lord, in their heart so they can maybe make sense of things or a problem or a challenge they're facing. And just pray your mighty blessings on each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.